First of all, I'll talk about Saul a little bit. Some of his strengths. First, God appointed king of Israel, known for his personal courage and generosity, stood tall among everybody, striking and handsome. I mean, what more can you ask? Some of his weaknesses, his leadership ability did not match the expectations created by his appearance. You figured he was tall, handsome, and strong, and the whole works, that would have worked out. His appearance worked out for him, but it didn't. Jealous of David, he tried to kill him. He specifically disobeyed God on several occasions, and we'll talk about that. But as we look in Acts 9, let me find my papers. I thought I had them in order. You know, I haven't gave the word in about probably 3 years now since I left the homeless. Well, anyway, you know what happened in Acts 9, you know, when he was on his way to Damascus. He was killing his, you know, God's people, and God finally got a hold of him. Yeah, why are you killing my people? Who are you, Lord? I'm the Lord. You're the one that's killing my people. And I'm sorry, I think I lost one of my... Yeah, this is Acts 9. Meanwhile, Saul was still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples. He went to the high priest and asked him for the letters to the synagogue in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, whether men or women, he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. And as he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him, and he fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why did you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go to the city, and you will be told what you must do. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could not see. He could not see nothing, so they led him by the hand to Damascus. For 3 days, he was blind and did not eat or drink anything. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision. "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judah on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul. For he is praying." In a vision, he seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him and restore his sight. "Lord," Ananias answered, "I have heard many reports about this man and all the harm he has done to your people in Jerusalem. And he has come here to with authority from the chief priest to arrest and all who call on his name. But the Lord said to Ananias, 'Go. This man is to be my chosen instrument.'" So that happened in Acts 5. Okay, now I'll read 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel 15, the Lord rejects Saul as king. Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one of the Lord who sent you to anoint the king over the people of Israel." This is what the Lord Almighty says: "I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to the Israelites when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go and attack the Amalekites and totally destroy them, all that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." Now you stop and think about it. If you haven't read Saul before, why would God do this? Kill innocent women and children and cattle and sheep and donkeys. Well, if you look at the footnotes, why did God command such utter destruction? The Amalekites were a band of guerrilla terrorists. They lived by attacking their nation and carried off their wealth and their families. They were the first to attack the Israelites as they entered the Promised Land. And they continued to raid Israelite camps at every opportunity. God knew that the Israelites could never live in peaceful in the Promised Land as long as the Amalekites existed. He also knew that their corrupt, idolatrous religion practices threatens Israel's relationship with them. The only way to protect the Israelites' bodies and souls to utterly destroy the people of their warlike nation and all their possessions, including their idols. Now, do not spare them and put to death men, women, children, and infants, cattle, sheep, and camels, and donkeys. So Saul summoned the men and mustered them at the Telem, 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalekite and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kittites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites so that I do not destroy you along with them. For you showed kindness all the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt. So the Kittites moved away from the Amalekites. And Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, near the eastern border of Egypt. He took Agai, the king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agai and the best of the sheep and cattle and the fat calves and the lambs. Everything that was good, these they were unwilling to destroy completely, but everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Then the word of the Lord came to Samuel. I regret that I have made Saul king, because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instruction. Samuel was angry and he cried out to the Lord all that night. Early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul. But he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone down to Gilgal. When Samuel reached him, Saul said, the Lord bless you. I have carried out all the Lord's instructions. But Samuel said, what then is this bleating of sheep in my ears? What is this lowing of cows that I have heard? Saul answered, the soldiers brought them from the Amalekites. They spared the best of the sheep and cattle and to sacrifice the Lord for your God, but we totally destroyed the rest. To me, Saul replied, Samuel said, although you were once small in your own eyes, did you not become the head of the tribes of Israel? The Lord anointed you king over Israel, and he sent to you a mission saying, go and completely destroy those wicked people, the Amalekites. Wage a war against them until you have wiped them out totally. Why did you not obey the Lord? Why did you pounce on the plunder and do evil in the eyes of the Lord? But I did obey the Lord, Saul said. I went on a mission the Lord assigned me. I completely destroyed the Amalekites and brought them back Agai the king. The soldiers took sheep and cattle from the plunder, the best of what was devoted to God, in order to sacrifice them to the Lord your God in Gilgal. Now if I was Saul too, but I'm not, I would have spared the best of the sheep, the cattle, the sheep, you know, all of them. Wouldn't that be a gift to the Lord? But Samuel replied, does the Lord delight in burnt offering and sacrifices as much as in obeying the Lord? To obey them is better than sacrifices. As to heed is better than the fat of the rams, for rebellion is like the sin of divination, and arrogance like the evil of idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, he has rejected you as king. Then Saul said to Samuel, I have sinned. I violated the Lord's commands and your instructions. I was afraid of the men, so I gave them back. I gave in to them. Then I beg you, give my sins, come back with me, so that I may worship the Lord. Samuel said to him, I will not go back with you. You have rejected the word of the Lord, and the Lord has rejected you as the king over Israel. As Samuel turned to leave, Saul caught a hold of his hem of his robe, and it tore. Samuel said to him, the Lord has torn the kingdom of Israel from you today and has given it to one of your neighbors, the one better than you. He who is the glory of God, he is the glory of Israel, not lie or change his mind, for he is not a human being that he should change his mind. Saul replied, I have sinned. But please honor me before the elders of my people and before Israel. Come back with me so that I may worship the Lord, your God. So Samuel went back with Saul, and Saul worshiped the Lord. Then Samuel said, bring Haggai, the king of the Amalekites. Haggai came to him in chains, and he thought, surely the bitterness of death has passed. Samuel said, as your words have made women childless, so will your mother be childless among the women. Samuel put Haggai to death for the Lord at Gilgal. Then Samuel left for Ramah. Saul went up to his home in Gibeah of Saul. Till the day Samuel died, he did not go to see Saul again. So Samuel mourned for him, and the Lord regretted that he had made Saul king over Israel. So that was about him not obeying the Lord. That's what I wanted to talk about. Now, as you know, I have disobeyed the Lord quite a few times. Boy, do I. Last time, I'll tell you. You know, the Lord wanted me to quit working out. People were telling me, gonna quit working. But it says in the Bible, God doesn't like idols. And then I hear another person, my neighbors down the street, you still working out? Oh, yeah. Well, I've been working out for 60 years. Since I was in ninth grade, I was hoping that I can read the Bible for a couple hours and then work out for a couple hours, to kind of break it up a little. Oh, that's not what God means. He wants you to quit. So I went through a couple crises. Then one time I had jury duty. Got the call. I had the call. It was on a Friday. I had the call at 11 o'clock to see when my jury duty was, I'm supposed to come. It was at 12 o'clock. So I had to go to Richmond. Well, I made it there on time and put my papers in, got seated, and I start talking to this guy. You know how God uses people, you know, to let the Lord know what's going on. He'll use your family. He'll use church members. He'll use just guys that you just meet wherever you're at. And I was talking to one guy about God and about, he asked me, do you work out? I go, yeah. But I think God wants me to. Anyway, jury was over and I didn't get picked, so they wanted us to come back Monday. So I came back Monday and do the same thing again, talk to the guy, and I didn't pick again. So I drove home feeling pretty good. I drove home from Richmond, got home. By the time I got to my bedroom, it hit me like a ton of bricks. Threw up, coming out of my body, fire hose. Really bad, the worst of it. Back in the days when I used to throw up, drink. This was the worst. Kept on going for quite a while, and then finally it settled down. I got in the shower, and Doris took me to the ER. Once I got there, I started throwing up again. So they put me on some liquids and laid me down for about 2.5 hours. That was like, I was thinking like, that was the Lord telling me. How many times do I have to? When are you going to learn? When are you finally going to say no? Amy. I didn't want to. I've been through so much. Ready to give in. So long. Not blaming God. Blame myself. Suffer. He wants me to obey him, and I wasn't doing. Took me about 2 days to really get myself together. But the second night, this is going to be a funny part. Has anybody seen the Bridesmaids? Huh? Well, the second day while I was in bed, I was thinking about the Bridesmaids. You know, when they went to that Mexican restaurant to get something to eat? And then after that, they're supposed to try the dresses on for the wedding. And they all start getting sick. They started throwing up, and one lady was on the toilet. I know this sounds crazy. This is what I was thinking. The crisis is gone. I'm not going to blame anybody. It's my fault. The crisis was gone, so I was thinking of this funny thing. And Melissa McCarthy wanted to get the toilet, that somebody was there, so she got on the sink. You remember? She got on the sink, and she goes, it's coming out like lava. It's flowing like lava, and that's the way I felt on both ends. And that's what I was thinking. I know it's funny. It just reminded me at that time my crisis was over, so I wasn't going to blame anybody. But that kind of reminded me. And then the bride, as she went out the door, she was walking across. She started getting lower and lower. It was all coming out. Do you remember that? Yeah. I mean, it was just funny. So about 3 days, then I went back to work. But I want to tell you, this is what I've told But I used to tell the homeless, each day that you wake up, a new day, new beginning, a new start in life, right or wrong, say, I'm sorry, or sorry for whatever I've done. I told him, you got to change. The first thing in change is admitting that you got a problem. You can't be in denial all the time. So I would tell him that. And I always would tell him, whatever Satan has taken away, God says he will restore for you. He will restore it back. You lost your life, I mean, through drugs or alcohol, he'll restore your life back. He'll get you that job, that car you need. He'll even bring back your kids. But I tell him, you gotta seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his righteousness. And all these things come back to you. What are his righteousness? His way of doing things, not our way. Our way don't help us. That was Pastor Jim's favorite scripture. Mine was Jeremiah 29. My plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope. You know, we don't always know what God's plans are, but they're better than the situations that they're on now, because I was talking to the homeless. And God doesn't want to hurt you. We hurt ourselves because we're still rebellious. We still want to do things our own way. Then I would always tell him, well, how's that working for you? Remember that one guy, Bob, that big guy? He would always say, well, it's not working. Well, what are you going to do about it? You need to change. But I always tell him, you need to change. You need to tell God, I'm a sinner. That I've sinned against you, Lord. Forgive me, Lord. Okay. Tell him that. And we always had communion. We always had communion. But I always told him, you got to make it right with the Lord before we do communion. Because I know every Sunday we would do it. So from the next Sunday, I know they've sinned. So you have to ask God to come back into your heart. You know, Lord, I've sinned. I know I've sinned against you. But right now, I'm asking you to forgive me. I've always believed that Jesus died on the cross and rose on the third day. But right here and now, I'm asking you to come into my life and into my heart as my personal Savior. And I'm thanking you for forgiving me, and I'm thanking you for changing. And then we would have communion. I wanted them to be. It perfect. There's me. We'd have communion. This is the body of my Lord Jesus Christ that was broken for me for remission of sin. Take this in remembrance of what Christ has done and be grateful. This is the blood that was shed for me for remission of sin. Take this in remembrance of what Christ has done. Grateful. Thank God. Never forget what he's done. And then we would eat. But that's what I always told him. I made some good friends with them. I loved them. They were good people. A lot of them did good, they got good jobs, but the other ones, you know, they were content with the way the situation was. in their life. They were going to stay that way. But as long as you gave them the word and let them know, I did my job. But I wanted to say this one thing that I've always said to them. God says this. And I remember you saying it. I will sprinkle clean water on you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you. Ezekiel 36:25-26. Do you remember when you said that? Probably a couple weeks ago. I always used to tell you, God loves you, man. He wants to help you. He wants you to have a better life. My plans are to prosper you, not to harm you. Plans to give you hope in the future. He wanted to give you that hope. Hope of a new life that you didn't have. Hope that you could get a job. And you could get your car back and a home and maybe your family back if you lost your family. And have that new life. And you know, a lot of them have changed. This girl right here, I love her more than anything. I picked you up for how many years? 3 or 4 years? Longer than that. And look at her now. She's doing so good. Love you, girl. It was fun. Matthew 36. And his right, his way. But you got to seek him. Not easy. But I've been doing this a long time. It says Saul, he used to do things his own way. And for almost 25 years, I did it my own way. Not meaning anything bad towards him. That's the only way that I could do it. I used to get these off the internet. And they're the same messages that Ian gives and Jason used to give. But that's what would get Saul in trouble, because he did a lot of things on his own. And I did a lot of things on my own. Now with the last three years or so, I want to do the right thing. I've surrendered everything. Everything. I just pray that this better year I could get up here. Maybe a couple. I'm never going to be good like you guys. I could just do the best that I can. I've got so many. We all got different gifts. Some are better than others. I get it. I want to say the prayer that I say every night. I said it a couple of times. You know, every time I thank God at night, I thank him for what he's done for me. And everything that I say, he's done for me. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, Lord, just thanking you for getting us up. because a lot of our friends don't get that chance. I thank you for dying on the cross for our sins, which we never deserved. I thank you for your shedding of the blood for forgiveness. I thank you for your grace and your mercy. I thank you for the struggles I go through to make me stronger and to persevere, to keep going. Lord, I thank you for your unconditional love, your protection. I thank you for that, Lord. I thank you for your blessings. And I thank you for the healing of our bodies. I thank you for your wisdom. Fear of the Lord, that's the wisdom. And I thank you for your knowledge and guidance. Guide us in that right direction that you want us to go, Lord, and help us to make the right decision. And we give you all the praise and glory. And everybody said, amen. Thank you.